What up, what up, what up? It's your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy HQ, man. And we are back again, FTN Fantasy Show. And my boy Okada is on for the ride. And how are we kicking things off?
With, I'm assuming, some talk about the first football game of 2025. I mean, technically, Super Bowl happened in 2025, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Football's back, baby.
Yeah, that's all that we need to be talking about and kicking off all our podcasts and all conversations because, man, we were learning for this. Like, we were basically up at night, like if it was Christmas Eve, waiting for football just to be back on television. Like, I was just extremely happy that, you know, we got to see some guys out there, you know, get loose. Like, we didn't see too much, like, not too much playing time for, like, Amarin Hampton, who, you know, he looked okay. But a lot of fantasy Twitter, the fantasy streets, they were chirping. They were barking. Did you see it, Okada?
Well, it depends on what the it is. I saw a few things.
The it was that people were chirping that he should have bounced outside a little bit faster. He didn't look as fast.
Yes.
He didn't get into the end zone.
Yeah.
His ADP needs to be corrected. He's not a top 15 back. Like, the fantasy streets were barking after two carries. But the thing is that it's a rookie. It's a Hall of Fame game. Like, the pads are on. Like, this is still a young kid. This is a rookie. Like, I want him to get this out of his system. And, like, people were just overreacting out there in the fantasy streets, Okada.
I'll tell you what I didn't want was to see the tackle that ended up happening when he didn't succeed in getting that into the end zone, because that didn't look too great, but he came out okay. Yeah, I have zero. There should be very little ADP reaction, at least on the stars, out of games like this in preseason. Where we might be a little bit interested is on deep, deep sleeper stuff, where somebody comes out and it looks like they're actually an important part of the offense.
And where does that lead us? To Mr. KLS, Keandre Lambert Smith. And boy, for a second, I was like, this could be the one who's going to be the dark horse that kills all the Trey Harris hype that I've been out in the fantasy street spewing, because, man, that haunts me. I hope that is not that Undertaker and AJ Styles meme where you have KSL, Keandre Lambert Smith, sitting there waiting behind Trey Harris to take over that hype and go into the back end of August with his ADP shooting up. I mean, is this an overreaction from the fantasy streets, or is this guy legit, Okada?
So it's probably somewhere in between there, Laquan, because I don't know if I'm ready to call him legit. He's a fifth round pick. We've seen wide receivers come out of the fifth round. Be great, obviously.
That ain't low now. That's up there. Nah.
I mean, it's in the middle somewhere. But there had been some hype in camp already before this. Then he came out and had a nice game. So you should be drafting him in best balls. And that's really it for now. I don't think he's making any typical redraft rosters that have 12 to 15 rounds. Yeah. Maybe he's your last pick in a draft if you're feeling spicy. There are a lot of targets available in LA. We know that. Somebody's going to get them. I was also in on the Trey Harris train. In fact, I think he's my most exposed player in best ball currently. But get some Keandre Lambert Smith if you're playing in best ball, and put him on your little waiver wire flag list if you're not.
So there was another star from that game. And I mean, look, I ran into a lot of my dynasty leagues, Okada. I wanted to see if I had Trey Lance, if I had any Trey Lance left, because I'm like, hold up, wait a second, follow me now. I'm sitting here watching him and like, he's looking good. He's looking okay. But I think it's what motivates me to go check my dynasty rosters, because one, Justin Herbert, he doesn't have the best injury history. He's banged up from time to time. And I think he landed in the perfect spot to kind of hit that reset button in his career. Getting on the Jim Harbaugh that just spews confidence to his quarterbacks and to all his players.
It's true. It could be a good spot.
Because think about it. San Francisco threw him away, man. Like, he was a failed project. It was an unforeseen leap in talent. You know, like, you can't call that. He goes to Dallas, gets his head hyped up like he's the guy. Nah, brother, we're about to stack pounds of money and cash on Dak's lap right now. That's the timeline for him. So now I think him just getting that, you know, confidence back in him with the best coaching staff that could probably do it, that's good for him. We've seen quarterbacks get resurged, Okada. It can't happen.
It's true. It's true. We've seen like the Sam Darnold thing happen recently. Happened with Baker. It could. Baker, I mean,
Geno. Now
both those guys had something more under their belt than Trey Lance does. He's got basically nothing. Yes, check your dynasty rosters. He should be stacked somewhere. Where, but I'm not getting excited just yet because we've had these moments on Trey a few times throughout his career.
Look,
he's gone in new places and it's been interesting.
Okada, we'll where's the bar? Where's the bar, really? We had
very low
here years ago talking about some Josh Gordon. He resigned. I'm picking him up off waivers. Thank God I saved him off my dynasty rosters. That happened for like a good 3 to 4 years straight. And nobody said anything. The fantasy streets looked at that and just played into that. No. Come on. Stop. This one is legit. This is legit. We've seen quarterbacks in recent years just get with the right coaching staff, especially in the cycle right now of the places that they can land. There's a good batch of coaches out there that could resurge somebody's quarterbacks.
Well, I hope that it doesn't happen because that means Justin Herbert got hurt. But if it does happen, then yes, let's hope Trey Lance shows something and gets himself a job somewhere because he was very highly picked. It'd be pretty sad if he never did anything in the NFL.
That is true. But let's take our first break real quick. But when we get into our next segment, we're talking top 10 fantasy wide receivers preseason rankings, folks. These rankings can change with new information coming in as the next 6 weeks we will be learning from preseason, the beat reporters, and training camp. So I definitely want to keep you guys tapped in, but the top 10 fantasy wide receivers coming in. So me and Okada came together for our top 10 wide receivers. And I was really surprised on some of the areas that we agreed in, but then really surprised to see some folks' names on there and then some that I left off. But let's start at 10. And I was really surprised that we both ended up here with Amon-Ra St. Brown here at 10. Like, this might sound like bonkers, crazy pants is on the mic right now talking about this, but what was your reason in putting him at 10?
So, for what it's worth, it should be noted, we both actually have him at 11, but he ends up the consensus 10 because that's how it works. We both have some guys above him that the other person doesn't like. So, he squeaks in at 10. It's tough with Amon-Ra St. Brown because he's proven it, and it being that he's extremely talented, extremely productive. My only concern is, I guess there's a second minor concern, Ben Johnson leaving. And I've talked about it all offseason for the entire Lions offense. We get so hyped and so excited about the Bears because of the arrival of Ben Johnson, right? Everybody's thinking, okay, here comes the ascension. Caleb Williams is going to hit. Everybody's going to be good in the receiving core. But we rarely, or maybe in some people's case, never talk about the effect of Ben Johnson leaving where he left to get to where he's at. And I just think that, like, listen, the new system, the new play calling, it could end up average, maybe slightly above average, even if they're very lucky, which I doubt, but they're not going to be Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson is top three maybe in the league. And that's why he just was the most sought after head coach in the market. Yeah. So you have that problem. And then the one other thing is there's been a lot of Jameson Williams hype. It seems like he's maybe coming into his own. He did it a little bit last year. If he takes another step forward this year, now you've got a real threat finally on the outside. You've got Sam LaPorta. You've got Jahmyr Gibbs. And you've got an offense that's not working at the same clip that it was under Johnson. I just think Amon-Ra might take a slight bump down. He's still a top 12, a wide receiver one for me, but the end of that range potentially.
That's where I land as well. All those concerns, the offense coordinator, Amon-Ra himself. There's a lot of question marks, and like we would just be crazy to just not acknowledge them, And look, I'm not taking preseason like it's like you need to be under a microscope of what's going on. But I think with John Morton wanting to be so aggressive going downfield, I think he's shown that a little bit. Like, he just wanted to test something out, But I think Jared Goff may throw more interceptions this year because they're wanting to throw downfield more. So I think that might hurt Amon-Ra in a sense of confidence in your quarterback, confidence in the offense, just not having that Ben Johnson magic. So it's like, okay, Amon-Ra has to sit here at 10 just based on I see higher upsides with other guys. Now, consensus, we had this guy next, right? And Tyreek Hill. And I think there was some big news that came out, you know, during training camp. There's a storyline right now with Cam Wolf over there at NFL Network that Tua's keeping Tyreek accountable. And for us to both come here and say Tyreek Hill is still a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, why did you place him there?
Well, I really should throw it back to you because you're the one who got him up here. I have him at 12, which feels, I think, still above ADP slightly, but not quite as high as you do, which is how he got up to 9 in our consensus rankings, which is where I have him. But what I will say is I don't think he's lost much. We'll see. I just think with Tua out for so much of last year, it really threw the whole offense and Tyreek Hill off. And so everybody's kind of out all of a sudden and are forgetting that Tua should be back. Now, obviously, Tua's one of, if not the most, like, injury-concerning players in the league because of what he's dealt with and what it entails for the future. But for now, assuming Tua plays, I don't see how Tyreek is not once again the leader of this passing game, which should be a very good passing game. And I like him, I think, more the consensus, but not as much as you. So why do you have him at 9, which is where you have?
Because it's the leadership that Tua is like doing right now, holding him accountable for his actions. And last year was a total wash of that offense. So Tyreek Hill's still shown us that he is still fast as cheetah, fast as lightning. I mean, he ran 100 meters in 10 seconds and then he broke his 18-year-old record. Do you understand this man is still out there? Speed kills. And I think with him and Tua back on the same page, I think Tyreek Hill could be a top 5 fantasy wide receiver, easily putting up 1,700 yards again if Tua is staying upright. If this run game is back to being electric with that 1-2 punch with Jalen Ray and Devon Achane, there's so many avenues of where he can get back to that prime to be in that. We're looking at Tua and Tyreek as a strap down, but understand Tyreek is still pretty freaking good at football.
Yeah. Facts.
Facts. I mean, I'm not lying. I'm just pointing it out. I mean, how he's on a high power offense. We've seen what it was in 2023, but consensus at number 8. I love this. We're sitting at Drake London. And now Okada, before we get into Drake London, I want to bring up AJ Brown as the next consensus at 7. Ooh, okay. As well. Right?
Okay.
So I had trouble myself trying to figure out where to put AJ Brown, where to put Drake London. But how did we end up here with these two right next to each other?
Well, we both ranked them back to back with AJ Brown one spot ahead of Drake London. So at least I think we have the feelers right on these two guys. Now you have both of them one spot up because I have a guy ahead of them that you do not, which is very surprising. We'll get to that. Tease. Basically, I think the main thing here is both of these guys are clear number ones. Both of them are likely going to be, you know, 23, 24, 25% target share guys, maybe higher for AJ Brown because there's not much else of serious, you know, competition there. Obviously, Devontae Smith is great in Philly, but they both have carved out the roles they've carved out. And both of them are very, very high percentage of the target count because they don't throw to anybody else in Philly. So both these guys, you know, AJ Brown is not surprising that he's here because he's been here frequently. Drake London had his breakout to this point, and now he's got a new quarterback. So he's got a lot more question marks, but I like the new quarterback situation. And I think, again, the target share is what matters. So I think it's kind of like, these guys are going to get big targets. They're good touchdown threats and they're good wide receivers. So it's hard not to have them right in the core of this like wide receiver one range. How do they end up there for you?
I mean, look, when you look at the two and you look at what AJ was on pace before the injury and everything else, then you look at Drake London and his opportunity with Penix. Like, both of them have the same paths to get to the ultimate goal, to that wide receiver one value in return. Like, these guys are really, really strong cases to where, like, I wouldn't be mad if you had AJ Brown over Puka. I wouldn't be mad if you had Drake London over Puka. But this is me taking my Rams cap off and being honest. So I do want to go to this next wide receiver here, and we may disagree because of where I have him placed, where you have him placed, but Nico Collins is a hot commodity right now, and I get the hype. I do, but we're here at consensus number six. This don't feel too hot for you?
In fact, it feels too low for me because I have Nico Collins ranked at number four. And your ranking of number eight is what brought him down here to six. This is the thing with Nico Collins. His stats last year don't look superb. So if you just glance back, it's like, wait, what happened here? First of all, he missed five games. Okay. I don't expect that to happen again. Generally, in most of these conversations, whether about these rankings or about players in general, you will hear me ignore injury more than the average person, I think, or more than the consensus that might be concerned over a player. And that's because the data is pretty clear over the course of most types of injuries that just because a player got injured before doesn't mean they're going to get injured again. Now, if you have a Christian Watson hamstring, maybe you have a problem. If you have a Tua Tagovailoa concussion history, yes, you have a problem. With Nico Collins, I don't think there is a problem. I'm not considering him injury prone. So I'm looking at 2 years ago when he played the full season and had 1,300 yards and eight touchdowns. I'm looking at last year what he did in just 12 games and thinking that looks great. And then I'm saying, I think that CJ Stroud had a flukily productive rookie year and then a flukily unproductive year two. It was like he bounced back too far. And I think he's going to correct to somewhere in the middle and be a lot better than he was last year. And I think a lot better than people think. And to get the wide receiver one for that guy, who I believe is one of the most talented players at his position, probably top five in the league, on an offense that should be better, yeah, sign me all the way up. I'm all the way in. Give me all the Nico Collins. At four for me. But you got to talk some sense to me, I guess.
There's a combination of my worry, right? We're obviously going to worry about his injury history. That's just normal. It's always going to be there. Like, the injury bug is on his jacket. When you attach injury to Nico Collins, it's a fact. But that is not the main driver that's fueling this. It's the offensive line. And I think that we're kind of still missing the bigger picture of the issue, and that's the offensive line. If CJ doesn't have time to let the play fully develop and hit that sideline down the field, big play to Nico, then what are we dealing with? Are we going to keep Nico short? Are we going to keep him just being close to the line of scrimmage so the ball can get to his hands quicker? Because that's why you drafted Jalen Noel, where he's very quick and at the top of his routes. He breaks off. He is flashed there wide open. So I think you look at what this offense may be to where I think it kind of brings Nico down. He doesn't become that deep threat that we're going to want at that high rate anymore, because that offensive line has not taken a step forward to protect CJ Stroud. So that's why I think the talent, I'm a huge Nico fan. It's documented. Hit those receipts on the Twitter. I am documented a huge Nico fan, but I just can't see the situation improving if the offensive line doesn't take a step forward or protect CJ Stroud.
It is important that they do that, because that is, I mean, Nico can win anywhere, but certainly it's better for him if they are succeeding down, you know, at the line so that they can succeed downfield. I'm just, you know, set his 17-game pace over the last 2 years. So if you take out the injury concern and you still have the offensive line that they have, his 17-game pace is 1,450 yards, nine touchdowns on 93 catches. That's some nasty. Those are some nasty numbers. So if the offensive line could take a small step forward, Stroud steps back up to where he should have been last year, maybe even ahead of that, because he's had, you know, 2 years now past his rookie year to learn and grow. The upside is pretty crazy.
But peep what you just said, though. A 1,400 yard pace, 1,400 yards. You know who else I think can put those numbers up? AJ Brown and Drake London.
True.
That's exactly why I have them hired. They are not attached to an O-line worry. They are not attached to an injury. So that's why I have those two paired higher, because I can flip-flop at the board. If I want London, I'll go London. If Brown is there, I'll go there. I'm from multiple leagues, obviously. So it's like, I am okay with having AJ Brown and Drake London over Nico for that reason. But moving on. Now, video game numbers may be something I say with Malik Nabers at our consensus five and Puka at the four. Now, obviously, people are going to think it was me. Yeah, it was me who put Puka over Nabers. Duh, because I'm the Rams fan. Ladies and gentlemen, it was not. It was Okada. Like,
whoa.
What? I got Nabers over him, but I need to hear this out from you, man.
Okay, so we both have him back to back, and nothing too crazy is going on here. Yeah. But I was surprised to see this, that I don't even know if I can call myself the high guy on Puka, because we have him at the same spot at number five. Really, I guess I'm just a low guy on Nabers, because I have him down at six below Puka, and you have him one spot above Puka.
Yeah.
And for me, it's basically this, and very little else. I think these guys are both super talented. I think they're both going to see a ton of targets. I think that I trust Matthew Stafford far, far, far more than I trust Russell Wilson or even Jackson Dart, who you all know that I love. But as a rookie, the Giants offense with one of those guys at the helm, probably both over the course of the full season, I expect like Russ for 6 to 11, or I think their bye's in week 14, so I'll call it 6 to 13 weeks. And then Dart comes in at some point. And I don't like that for a receiver. I don't like mid-season quarterback change. I don't like, you know, washed Russell Wilson and rookie Jackson Dart when I could have instead, arguably a future Hall of Famer, still pumping out production whenever he's healthy and his shoulder's not broken, in Matthew Stafford. So to me, that's the main difference. I think both these guys probably won't score that many touchdowns, which is why neither of them cracks the top like four or three for me. But I'm just going to take in what are, I think, two similar players and with similar target counts. I'm going to take the quarterback that I like more. So that's why I have Puka higher. But they're both good.
Nabers is about to put up video game numbers. And I say that because when you go to Stats Hub, FTN Fantasy, and please make sure you guys look at the promo code that's going across your screen right now, an FTN show for 10% off on your FTN Fantasy subscription. Malik Nabers is going to put up video game numbers because Russell Wilson last season was second in completion percentage on deep ball. So we're looking at the combination of Malik Nabers' talent, Russell Wilson's placement and accuracy on the deep ball, where that was the most suffocating thing for the Giants last season. They were at the bottom of the table in success rate on those deep throws. 20%. God, that is embarrassing. Now you unlock that. Nabers could be in that 1,700-yard season. He can be in that 10 to 12 touchdown region. And that's why when we get to our consensus one, two, and three, this sparks a huge conversation. I am okay with putting Nabers over Justin Jefferson right now and moving Nabers up to number three.
Ooh,
what say you?
Okay, so just to be clear, this is something you're considering. You're not actually doing it. Yeah,
I'm considering it.
I'm considering it.
It's not happening now, but these are preseason rankings. And Justin Jefferson is nursing a hammy right now, folks.
He is. That was going to be the thing I went to because, you know, I said earlier, I don't care about injuries, except I mentioned hamstrings. Yeah. If you've got a preseason hamstring problem nagging already, that gets me a little worried. Now,
run away.
For now, I'm keeping Jefferson where he's at because as long as the hamstring is not a problem, this is theoretically a low ranking to have him at three. Obviously, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league, is by far the best target on his team, and should, we hope, have a good quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, who's kind of in his rookie season, technically second year. But however, I will say, Justin Jefferson is at risk for me of dropping down into the 4, 5, 6 range behind some of these guys. Maybe not Nabers because I have him lower. So you doing that, I don't know if I'd agree with, but maybe Nabers eventually, maybe Puka, could jump up above Jefferson if this holds, but also because the combination of McCarthy, who we don't know if we can trust yet, I think we can, but we don't know, with the fact that they've got a lot of other good players who can take targets there. Jordan Addison, assuming he's on the field and doesn't have any off the field.
Jalen Naylor's the name apparently to know, man, because on Sleeper. What's the word, Matthew Collar, he was talking about, he's a Vikings beat writer, he was talking about Jalen Naylor name just keeps popping up, and it keeps showing on the field. It's reflecting. The chemistry is building. So I think if Jordan Addison ends up getting suspended for X amount of games, Jalen Naylor might be a early waiver wire hero. So you heard it here first, you know, August 1st. I'm just saying we can clip this back when everybody's jumping to the wire in week one. Like, oh, my God.
And then you've also got TJ Hawkinson, you know, Aaron Jones. So Jefferson, to me, is going to hold this spot unless we hear that his injury is going to carry over into the season. But I don't think it's as crazy as most people might believe to suggest that he should drop to 4 or 5, just because I think some of the guys behind him could step up and he could step back. But for now, he's clearly in a tier above. So I've got him at 3. We both have him at 3 for now.
Him falling would be a completely different reason for what it was last year. You know, like we were like, oh, no. Their top prospect quarterback just went down with injury. We have Sam Darnold who sees ghosts. That's why you drop Justin Jefferson and he falls to like the 106. Insane. Yep. This is soft tissue. And in 2023, he was sidelined with a hamstring injury and missed 7 games. Now, he still was a top tier wide receiver on a points per game. But hey, him missing 6, even 4 games to start the season is, I would hate to take him at the 103. Let's just say that.
I will not be doing that. Yeah, no chance.
Now, CD and Ja'Marr Chase, we kind of have flip-flop. And again, I don't argue about 1 and 2. 1 and 2 are usually just consensus. Like, I'm not going to scream at you. You come off the board with Chase or CD at the 101. Whatever. But is there a case where you have a strong feeling that one should be over the other?
I don't have a strong feeling because I am the one who has CD at 1 and Chase at 2. And I'm honestly surprised you didn't bring some more heat against me for that, because the vast consensus in the community is that Chase should be the number one wide receiver and should be the 101 overall in drafts. So for me to have Lamb above him, I think is kind of wild for most people. But I mean, listen, okay, first of all, just look back at the history of wide receiver 1 overall. They never repeat the next year. You can go back a decade. It does not happen. And CeeDee Lamb was the wide receiver 1 a couple years ago, but was not last year. The guy who was last year was Ja'Marr Chase. And before you say, okay, but that's just like random, and look at Ja'Marr Chase and all the reasons he has to be the number 1. Yeah, that we say that every single year about the guy who finished as the wide receiver 1 the year before. This is how it always works. The guy was incredible, but the way that statistics works, the way the numbers works, is when you have unbelievable outlier numbers, you tend to see regression the next year, and that's why the number 1 wide receiver is almost always not the number 1 wide receiver the next year. And Ja'Marr Chase scored a metric butt ton of touchdowns. It's possible that won't happen. You got T. Higgins, who's now signed for real. So maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. The point is, as much as you are tempted to, or the whole fantasy community is tempted to, lock in Ja'Marr Chase at number 1 because he was number 1 last year and not much, if anything, changed, that's not how fantasy worked. It's just not. I hate to break it to you all. That's not how it works. So to me, the CeeDee Lamb, I love CeeDee Lamb. I'm drafting him absolutely everywhere because I don't have to draft him at the 101 or even the 102 or 103 usually. To me, the Cowboys are going to throw so much. It's going to be gross. George Pickens is going to see work, but is not a target guy. He's a downfield guy. He's a field stretcher. He might take attention away from CeeDee Lamb and make him better. And CeeDee Lamb's just going to see an unholy amount of targets. Is arguably the best or one of the few best wide receivers in the league. So for me, it's basically just like Lamb and Chase are equal for me. And I'm literally just going off the reality that number ones don't repeat and putting Lamb ahead of him.
Look, I don't have a strong feeling. I'm okay with that. But I feel like Ja'Marr Chase, if I did have a strong opinion, has the better chemistry with his quarterback. Thanks to Netflix quarterbacks we've been watching. I mean, look, man, that connection is like, it's 1-2, you know? There is no off-field or in-house or front office distractions anymore. Joe Burrow is locked in, and I think we've seen this offense hit at a high level multiple times when this team is healthy, where Chase can have that big season that CeeDee Lamb can also have is in his situation. So I feel like you're coming away with two wide receivers that are literally going to be probably in a conversation of a top three scoring offense. All these scoring opportunities that are going to be made for them, it's like, I'm just glad I am one of the guys to come off with one of them. So, Okada, you're coming off with CeeDee Lamb. I'm coming away with Ja'Marr Chase. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two wide receiver ones.
Yeah. Clap. It's true.
Yay. It's true. There we go. That's it. It's not a big deal.
Okay. I want to throw this out there for you and for the fantasy community and for our listeners real quick, because this is one of the things that's I've been hammering for the past month, basically. I'm going to read you the 17-game paces over the last 4 to 6 years, depending on which quarterback it is. I'm not going to say how many. Mm-hmm. For Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott, and you see if you can tell me which one is which. Okay? These are their 17-game paces. Gotcha. Quarterback number one, whoever that is, 618 attempts, 4,700 yards, 36.6 touchdowns. Quarterback number two, or B, or whatever you want to call them, 617 attempts, 4,724 yards, 34 touchdowns. Which one's which? And the real point here is it doesn't matter, because everybody's thinking Joe Burrow is the man and Dak Prescott's
34. Yes, I know. I know. Look, I understand, because Dak sprinkles in a little rushing touchdowns as well if we want to do total offensive touchdowns. And I do think that Dak may be scoring at a higher rate more efficiently. But man, it's Joe Beasy and it's Ja'Marr Chase. That connection's forever. It's a lock for like 140 targets this season. Like, it's a lock that they're going to throw the ball a ton. Like, that defense is still bad. But I feel like we're ending on a good note. We're not ending on a note of where we're disagreeing. It's just like,
true.
Who cares? We're both winners.
So we shouldn't end up talking about Ladd McConkey? Is that what you're saying?
No, we'll save him for the Z block, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of that will never come into show. That is going to stay at the bottom of the rundown and never come up and seek, like, I'm just kidding. We'll talk Ladd next week. We'll talk some Ladd next week, see if there's more Chargers boot news out there. But Okada, are we going to get out of here?
I think so, probably. Yeah, by the way, we didn't touch on the Terry McLaurin situation on our wide receiver show. Just throwing it out there. Do you have a team? Is it still Washington?
I said Patriots, man. I don't want to get everybody off. See, look, man. Oh, see, listen, I could see it. I could see it, man, because they need to get more weapons for Drake. They need to do it.
That, as the resident Patriots fan, I mean, obviously it depends on what we have to give up and what we have to pay, but I'd be all aboard for getting Terry McLaurin. That would take our offense from absolute garbage still, probably, with a hope for a breakout, to, okay, we've got a legit offense now, and if they break out, they might be really legit.
Diggs and Scary Terry with Drake May, Travion Henderson. Oh, my God. Hunter Henry in the mix. Old man Henry. Ooh. Patriots offense might be really good.
For what it's worth, I still think he ends up back in Washington. But if he doesn't, the Patriots are the odds-on favorite. Obviously, keep your eye on the situation because it's massive.
It's okay. You can get excited. Just dream, man. And look, the more you dream, you talk about it, you put it in the universe, hey, it might happen. All right? You never know. You never know. This has been another great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Make sure you guys like and subscribe and hit that promo code down there. FTN Show, 10% off on NFL Pro. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.